Broadcasting from the studios of KCCU on the campus of Cameron University, this is the Texoma Report. I'm Melissa Beck, and now the news. The Oklahoma State Legislature's session was badly disrupted last year by the pandemic. It's back starting Monday and faces a long list of pressing issues and unfinished work from 2020. State Impact Health reporter Catherine Sweeney, education reporter Robbie Korth, and criminal justice reporter Quentin Chandler met with Republican Oklahoma Senate President Pro Tem Greg Treat to talk about his priorities before the gavel drops next week.
So first, the legislative session got cut short last year. What kind of bearing is that going to have on the work you're doing now?
Well, there's a backlog of bills that didn't get considered last year that there's at least an appetite to hear from the members who pushed them. We're not going to fast track those, even if they went through committee on the floor and just ran out of time. They're going to go through the normal process.
Treat says there will be some proxy voting by legislators due to COVID-19. And when it comes to voting, there will be a hard look at the loosened requirements for casting absentee ballots. The elephant in the room is how to fund the expansion of Medicaid, which Oklahoma voters approved last June.
Otherwise, on the health front, obviously you have a big question on how you're going to fund Medicaid expansion. Where are you guys on that?
Well, you know, $164.8 million is our estimate of what our cost is going to be there, plus a $50 million upstart on managed care. So it's not a small amount of money. We don't have a definitive solution, but a lot of the same ideas that we talked about last year will probably make up the core of what we end up having to do this year.
Balancing a return to in-person learning with pandemic safety concerns in Oklahoma schools is top of mind for Treat. But he's clear students must get back into a physical classroom.
I have a lot of conversations across the state of, should we just have kids repeat their grade, which I'm opposed to. I've got young kids. I've got a 13-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 9-year-old, and I think I'd be excommunicated from the dinner table if I started talking that way. But I have seen adverse impacts on their own education attainment in this school year. And I've also seen mental health considerations. Many parents are coming to me with kids having much more deep mental health issues, not being around their teachers, not being around their friends, feeling isolated.
The pandemic saw a dramatic uptick in enrollment at Epic Charter Schools, which is embattled by accusations of corruption and improper use of state funds.
What is the Senate sort of looking to do about what's going on with Epic, if anything?
Yeah, we need accountability on tax dollars. And so I think there's a lot of us, myself included, that are trying to see what the remedy legally is, what really did happen, trying to get to the bottom of it. I saw a report that came out today on Epic refuting some of the calculations that the state auditor used, and the state auditor saying, yes, those may have been inaccurate, but it doesn't change the underlying problem. And so we're going to take a real look at it. We want to make sure that parents have options when they want to educate their children. So we don't want to undercut the available options, but we also want to make sure entities accepting public money are held to account.
After initial victories for reform advocates, criminal justice reform efforts have largely lost momentum in the legislature. Last session, the pandemic preemptively ended lawmakers' opportunities to make new changes.
Do you have any criminal justice policy priorities that you would like to pursue this session?
You know, there's still some undone business there on the reclassification that we started a couple years ago.
In 2016, Oklahoma voters changed certain nonviolent felonies to misdemeanors. Lawmakers followed their example and reduced penalties for some lower-level crimes. Some people imprisoned before the changes have also been granted shortened sentences retroactively.
I've been a little bit perturbed at the pace at which that has gone. And so I'd like to make sure that we prod that along. It's become piecemeal over the years, and it doesn't similar crimes don't have similar punishment. We've got to make sure that those bans make sense. And I'm open to other conversations. I don't have any other legislation personally, but I'm very deeply involved in this and want to see us continue to go make smarter decisions when it comes to punishing crime.
Clearly, the challenges are many, and the pandemic will continue to make those challenges more difficult to address. I'm Catherine Sweeney.
I'm Robbie Korth.
And I'm Quentin Chandler for State Impact.
State Impact Oklahoma is sponsored by OU Health. a comprehensive academic health system of hospitals, clinics, and doctor networks. More at ouhealth.com. KCCU encourages you to be safe and stay well. That's the news for this edition of the Texoma Report. For KCCU, I'm Melissa Beck. The Texoma Report is a production of KCCU News. For more information about featured stories aired during the program, go online to kccu.org or visit our Facebook page.
I'm Laura Sullivan, crime and justice correspondent. NPR is a community. It's a voice for people all over this country. When I walk into a prison, sit in a courtroom, ride in a police car, I believe I am there because NPR's listeners have asked me to be there, to examine and explore and hold people to account, because this is what we do here, and it's really the only thing that matters. This is NPR.